Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Yesterday, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano announced a new policy of the Obama administration when it comes to illegal immigration, said the cases of 300,000 illegal immigrants who are currently in deportation proceedings will be changed. The filter that will be used is an attempt to identify those who pose a public safety threat or are convicted felons. They will be the ones, the focus of deportation efforts, those who are said to be low-priority offenders, including students, elderly, crime victims, those who've lived in the U.S. since childhood, will apparently be allowed to stay. In some cases, work permits may even follow for those who are allowed to remain in the United States. My question for you as an Air Talk listener is, do you think it's good policy that the president is making here, that this is the right way to focus on illegal immigration, that the resources available should be used to remove from the country those who pose the gravest criminal threat? Or is this a de facto amnesty as you see it? Does this allow people to stay in the United States who legally should not be in the country and gets by what Congress has been able to vote when it comes to illegal immigration and allow the president to take priority? We're at 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722, or comment on the Air Talk page at kpcc.org. Marshall Fitz, Director of Immigration Policy at the Center for American Progress, with us. Mr. Fitz, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. What
is the rationale, in your view, for the administration's refocusing?
I think this is a really important step. Let's be clear, but it is a step in the direction that they were already headed. They've been, I think, trying to direct their immigration enforcement regime in a more effective and more coherent fashion. And in a time of limited resources, I think it only makes sense to be focusing on drug smugglers, gangbangers, violent felons, instead of, you know, young people who were maybe brought here as kids when they had no say in it, people who were attending college, military veterans. It just makes sense to prioritize. It's basically the type of prioritization that every law enforcement agency in the world makes, and it's an overdue course correction, I think, for this agency, which has grown in the last 8 years that it's been in existence. It's 200,000 people work for this agency, and it's a, you know, so it's a behemoth, and it required, I think, this type of very aggressive cross agency move by the administration to try to ensure that we are using our resources, especially in this time where we're, you know, we're scrambling because of deficits and budget problems.
How does this
make sure we're using it correctly?
How does this relate to the Secure Communities program, where you have local law enforcement agencies who provide information on their arrests to the FBI, and then that information in turn is passed on to Homeland Security? Is this going to have an effect on Secure Communities?
Well, I sure hope it will, because Secure Communities in the abstract is a program that makes sense, because as it was, as it's been articulated by the supporters of Secure Communities, it is intended to identify serious criminals in the same way that this kind of course correction or this new initiative is likewise supposed to focus resources on serious criminals. The problem with Secure Communities is that it has ended up ensnaring the majority of people that it has identified have not been serious or even in many cases criminals whatsoever. So I'm certainly hopeful that this approach will animate changes, much needed changes to the Secure Communities program.
Marshall Fitz with us from the Center for American Progress. Also joining us, Stephen Camerata, the Director of Research at the Center for Immigration Studies. Good to have you back with us on Air Talk.
Thank you for having me.
So you see this as de facto amnesty?
Well, I think, look, there's always limited resources, and it certainly makes sense to go after the worst of the worst, people, the murderers, robbers, and rapists, people who have committed a serious crime and are here illegally. So That's fine. And prosecutorial discretion is always part of it, is an important law enforcement tool and always part of any kind of effort to administer the law. The problem here is what the administration is doing is using prosecutorial discretion as a matter of making public policy. What they're effectively saying then is, although Congress sets the limit on legal immigration and who can be here, if someone knowingly violates that and we catch that person, we're just not going to do anything about it in most cases, unless they meet this other threshold. So, for example, if you mainly go out looking on a fugitive warrant and you arrest someone in their apartment and it turns out they're living with several other illegal immigrants when you burst in, you need to arrest everyone and deport everyone, including those people who you weren't originally looking for. So you don't necessarily have to go out and look for the illegal immigrants, though some of that should be done as well. But when a law enforcement comes across someone who's identified as a legal immigrant, in this case the immigration authorities would, that person has to be deported. If you've got an illegal immigrant in your jail who's been arrested for drunk driving, but say they meet this other criteria that the administration has established, well, they've been here a long time, and they have a U.S. born child, so we're not going to enforce the law in their case. You are making a mockery of the rule of law. You don't want to have a kind of public policy made by judicial fiat. You can go back to Congress and say, hey, here's what we'd like to do. We'd like to legalize illegal immigrants. We want to let, instead of 1 million legal immigrants in a year, we want to let 2 million in a year. All that is fine if you want to make the case for Congress to pass the law and then the president to sign it. But for the president, in effect, to do it on his own creates a contempt for the rule of law. It demoralizes the bureaucracy that's in charge of enforcing the law and makes everyone involved in the system think that we're not serious about our laws. So that's one of the most troubling aspects.
Your colleague Mark Krikorian, the Center for Immigration Studies, says what the president did, essentially a lawless act. I mean, that's pretty strong language he used.
Yes, and I think that exactly captivates it. He says, whatever the law is doesn't matter to me. I'm going to do something else that I think is right. It's like saying, look, the taxes are 10% on everybody right now, but I think they should be 20, so we're going to collect 20. Instead of going back to Congress and saying, here's what policy should be. Now, the public and Congress has overwhelmingly rejected the idea of legal status for illegal immigrants, but that could change. He can still persuade people. But the problem is he's basically saying, look, I'm going to do it anyway. And that is what is so fundamentally lawless about this.
Let me ask again for listeners to take part in the conversation. Your thoughts on the new policy that was announced yesterday by the Department of Homeland Security that only those who are deemed to be a threat to the United States or who have previous criminal convictions will be set for deportation. Otherwise, if people have roots here, they're longtime residents, they will be allowed to stay in the country once they come to the attention of ICE. We're at 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722, or comment on the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. Chris Newman is legal director of the National Day Laborer Organizing Network. Chris, good to have you with us again on AirTalk.
Thanks so much, Larry.
So what about the criticism that, you know, the Senate filibustered on the DREAM Act and wasn't willing to pass it, and that this de facto provides for the DREAM Act to work because now no student, unless he or she is a criminal, is going to be deported. They'll be able to stay indefinitely.
I think the announcement yesterday is a testament to the power of a growing social movement for immigrant justice in this country that's resulting in real pressure for results. And I think a lot of the credit goes to the courageous students that have really formed a social movement that has existed in the proudest tradition of the country. And I think we're going to have to wait and see how the policy gets implemented, and we'll see if this helps galvanize our eventual goal of citizenship for people who are denied it currently. And clearly, you know, I think the broken immigration laws have resulted in a contempt for the law, and that the fact that we have not been able to modernize immigration laws, I think, are undermining people's faith. But, you know, President Obama's best intentions on immigration reform have been frustrated by what is, I think, a coarsening political environment in recent years. And it's also been frustrated by the Department of Homeland Security that has really lost credibility with the American public on all sides of the debate.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because immigrant right advocates have said when it comes to secure communities, for example, it's not really clear what the policy was. At one time you could opt out, then you couldn't opt out. It was only going to be applied to those who had previous convictions and were people involved in current crime. It seems like it's been squishy from the beginning.
It has, and DHS has been quite deceptive about the program, and I think that there's a consensus about that DHS can't be trusted and can't be held to its word about secure communities for reasons that you described. And I think the immigrant rights movement has major concerns that policies like secure communities are causing an Arizonification of the country. And that's a term that's been used to describe really the dangers of entangling local police into the business of enforcing immigration laws on the front end. I think the announcement yesterday on the back end, if people are in deportation proceedings, it's clearly a step in the right direction. But we've seen the dangers on the front end of policies that ensnare local police in the enforcement of unjust laws. It's contributing to a fear of immigrants, and it's also contributing to a fear among immigrants of police. And that's a toxic mixture that has undermined public safety and imperiled civil rights. And, you know, Arizona's Exhibit A, and I would just say, for example, I mean, you look at Maricopa County, for example, which I think is the kidnapping capital of America. And part of the reason for that is because immigrant communities are simply afraid of calling the police to report suspicious activity if something's occurring, you know, at their neighbor's house that looks dangerous. They're afraid of calling the police. And you contrast that with a place like El Paso, Texas, that has some of the lowest crime rates in the country. It's across the street from Ciudad Juarez, one of the most dangerous places in the hemisphere. But there, immigrants have faith in the police. They have faith that they're not going to get ensnared. They call the police. And so if our concern really is to prioritize the removal of people who constitute a danger to our society, secure communities, programs like it, have frustrated that goal.
Let me share some listener comments here. We have Ark writing on the Air Talk page, "I absolutely support this policy 100%, but it's hard to be happy about it because I feel it's so cynical. The Obama administration stepped up deportations for 3 years, hurt a lot of innocent people. Now he needs his base back to try to win a second term. He's doing the tiniest possible thing he can do to help immigrants. This ain't the Dream Act." Share your comments on the Air Talk page at kpcc.org. Chris writes on the page, "If immigrants come here and are made to hide, how do we expect them to create a positive impact? Would they be more likely to be forced into a life of crime?" 866-893-KPCC or the Air Talk page at kpcc.org. I look forward to what you have to say about this, whether you think the president is making the right move, and what do you think the political impact is going to be? Will this energize Latino voters to support the president, or in their view, in many cases, does it not go far enough? Or on the other side, does this alienate President Obama from those voters in the center who might be turned off by the change in policy? Now, Hedy Lyn Hurdies has the news. Coming up, Film Week on Air Talk, 11 o'clock here on 89.3. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us as we talk about the announced change in policy at the immigration courts. Yesterday, the Obama administration saying that of the 300,000-some people who are awaiting disposition of their cases, only those who are deemed to be public safety threats or are determined to be convicted felons will be the focus of deportation efforts. The others will be allowed to stay in the country. What do you think of that? We're at 866-893-KPCC. Polly writes on the Air Talk page, "I view this action by President Obama as quite analogous to former President Bush's signing statements that negated or massively altered congressionally passed laws. Republicans who were okay with those signing statements can't have it both ways." And you could flip that around the other side and say, for Democrats who were upset about those, why are they okay with President Obama with his interpretation of the immigration priorities? 866-893-KPCC. Let's talk with Alex in Claremont. You're on Air Talk.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Great. You know, I like to say first that, you know, I'm a left-of-center centrist, and I voted for Obama and I supported him financially. But I have to tell you that this action today is just utterly disgusting. First of all, if you don't implement the law, then in effect you don't have a law. When you bypass public policy and the Congress and go ahead and create a de facto law, when you yourself are a constitutional attorney, then you're basically saying that you're in effect acting as a dictator. You're doing whatever you want without regard for what the Congress or what the people have to say. And, you know, when 300,000 people, putting that strain back on, that strain that may exist on the government in terms of the financial burden to the system having to hold them and imprison them, as much as just you and releasing them into the public domain, 300,000 people, whether they're criminals or not, it's still going to be a burden on society when they walk into an emergency room and demand service. And I myself as a physician have on numerous accounts have to provide health care that we're not going to get reimbursement to the hospitals, and the taxpayer winds up having to flip the bill for those. So to say that we're relaxing the financial burden on the government is not a fully accurate statement.
Okay.
The cheapest way to deal that is to actually go ahead and implement the law and deport these people back to their countries of origin and let them try to come back again legally through visas or whatever way that the law allows for.
But Alex, I appreciate your call. Thank you so much. Marshall Fitz of the Center for American Progress, your response to Alex in Claremont.
Well, I sure understand the frustration that folks around the country feel with undocumented immigration. It's a problem that, particularly in Southern California, impacts many communities and impacts the lives of folks like the caller who's a doctor and sees many of these sees many undocumented immigrants coming into emergency rooms. But the question is what is this policy really about? I think we need to step back because it is clearly not an administrative amnesty. It is not a lawless act, as Steve Camerota was suggesting. This is about being smart with your resources. This is about prioritizing the worst of the worst instead of the best of the best. They are not going to be letting 300,000 people who are in deportation proceedings out onto the streets. Not that they were all in detention or in jail in the first place, but what they're going to do is say, look, it's costing us about $24,000 to take someone from soup to nuts, identification to removal from this country. And does it make sense to be identifying and removing kids who were brought here at 2 years old and have lived their lives as Americans and only know this country as Americans? Does it make sense to spend that $24,000 on that person?
But
or
how do you deal with the law? How do you deal with the law itself? Because here's I think a problem that a lot of people have is that you've got the issue of respect for the law, rule of law. So
yep.
if it is against the law to be in the country illegally, and that makes you subject to deportation, and someone comes to the attention of federal authorities that they're in the country illegally, and you make an administrative decision or a manpower decision, however you want to say it, mm-hmm. that some of those people are going to be subject to that law and other people not. How does that relate to the issue of what we think about having laws and adhering to them or not?
Well, clearly, this is not a long-term solution to the problem. And it is not, I don't think the administration has styled it as such. This is at best a stopgap measure until Congress can step up and solve this problem. We're not going to deport 11 million people from this country. No one believes we are or can. And so ultimately it is going to be up to Congress to figure out an appropriate solution for addressing those folks, requiring them to register, pay taxes, learn English, go to the back of the line, all of those things that would be inherent in any type of legalization program. That's ultimately the only solution that is going to satisfy. And it's a solution that, notwithstanding Steve's comments, that the broad swath of the American public, and that is of all political stripes, people of all political stripes, understand that we need a practical, safe and secure way to deal with the current undocumented population. Right now, all this is saying is, we're going to prioritize removing, as we're continuing to enforce the law to the fullest extent, the notion that this administration has, you know, somehow fallen down on the job on enforcing the law or is bypassing Congress is absurd. This guy, this president has deported nearly a million people, if not a million people by now. That far surpasses any prior president.
Okay. Hold on. Let's get some more listeners involved here. Ted in Laguna Beach, you're on Air Talk.
Thanks for taking my call. You know, I was quite impressed with a lot of those students that were gathered trying to petition to have the law recognize that there was a need for compassion here as well as a strict interpretation of the law. We need to discriminate somewhat, and this, it sounds like this is a smart decision that does discriminate on the basis of merit. You know, these people, unlike the physician who just spoke, there are a lot of highly productive people that are in this class that's being, treated quite unfairly and without compassion. And I applaud this decision to mediate this strict interpretation of the law in the interest of humanity.
Ted, I appreciate your call. Ted in Laguna Thanks. Beach, Stephen Camerata, Director of Research Center for Immigration Studies. And I think, you know, there's so many people who hear the stories of these kids who were raised in the United States. They don't have legal citizenship. They came here as little kids, you know, applying themselves in school, good students, only to run the risk of being deported just as they're ready to get the highest level of education and go out and be productive members of American society. So, you know, what role does compassion need to play here?
Look, any system of justice must always be tempered with the idea of mercy. And we do have that built into the system. Remember, each year, 8,000-10,000 people have their deportation stopped and they have it suspended for one reason or another and are granted legal status. So we do that sort of thing. If you want that for a widespread group, say there are about 2 million people who would qualify for the DREAM Act, if you think that's good public policy, then the way you do it in our constitutional system of laws is Congress says these individuals can stay and get legal status, and the president then signs that bill into law. What you don't want to have happen is the president says, I think they should stay, and I'm going to largely ignore the law in these areas and simply allow them to stay. So what he's done here is taken the idea of mercy or prosecutorial discretion and distorted it, in effect made law, made public policy. And that is the fundamental problem. That is what destroys the public confidence. And in many ways, it means he'll never get what he wants. Because the only way the public would ever support the idea of legalizing some illegal immigrants, which they don't right now, is if they thought we were serious about enforcing the law. This kind of action, whatever short-term political gain he hopes for, works against his ultimate goal, because the public overwhelmingly believes that we're not enforcing the law.
Let me ask Chris Newman about that. Stephen Camerata with us, Center for Immigration Studies. Chris Newman, Legal Director, National Day Labor Organizing Network. Do you think this move by the administration moves the country closer to a comprehensive immigration reform or farther away?
Well, I think the best outcome of yesterday is precisely the fact that it's restoring a little bit of rationality back into the debate. And so I think, you know, what was a sensible and lawful decision by the president, in contrast to, you know, irrational and unlawful policies in Arizona, Alabama, and Georgia, I think are going to help us get back to the business of figuring out, how to restore our nation's pride in the fact that we're a nation of immigrants. And I think we need to take a longer view of history. This is a country that, since its founding documents, has always been about the project of writing laws to regularize the status of people who came here in a higgly-piggly way. Since the arrival on the shores to manifest destiny, we've had to periodically modernize our immigration laws. And the current immigration laws were written before the internet. They were written back when there were no photos on driver's
license. But again, my point is, where does this take us politically in the debate? Does this have an impact on the larger debate?
I think it does, I think we're sort of zeroing in on the target of bringing back some rationality and common sense to our immigration laws.
Let's hear what Deborah in Venice. You're on Air Talk. What do you think?
Hi, I have a couple of things to say. First of all, it is sad that, you know, this has happened to a lot of these illegals that were children and brought here. But that's one place to start with the schools. Why don't they ask for birth certificates so we prevent this? That's the first thing. Secondly, I am of Latin descent, and I was born here, so are my parents. But there can be a backlash here. People are unemployed. There's unemployment everywhere. And this symbolically says, oh, yeah, we're allowing illegals to come here and take jobs from legal citizens. I don't think that's fair because the law is the law, and it seems like the president is advocating breaking the law. There are reasons that we have laws, and this isn't right. I think he's playing politics because he wants the Latin vote, but this is one Latin person who voted for him before that's not going to. Because
so, Deborah, let me ask you, though, as a practical matter, it's impossible to deport everybody who's here in the country illegally. So you're going to have a picking and choosing that takes place, not just everybody who would potentially come to the attention of law enforcement. So how should that be done, in your view?
Well, I think that they can never vote. That will be one thing they should say. If you came here illegally, fine, you came here illegally. You're going to be able to work. You're going to be able to do everything. But you broke a major law. You're going to be able to have every, you know, just like some federal crimes. I'm not saying, this, you know, people are not able to vote. Don't give them the vote. You take the politics out of it.
All right. I appreciate your call, Deborah. Thanks. 866-893-KPCC. Ashley in Newport Beach, you're on Air Talk.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I think the discussion your guests are having is a great one. It shows how complicated and nuanced the issue is. And when I saw this headline on the Wall Street Journal this morning, my immediate thought was this is nothing but a political move by President Obama. It gives him a perfect soundbite for his election next year, whether or not the policy actually goes into effect or not. He'll be able to say what he was trying to do to garner Hispanic support.
Do you think it's going to hurt him with independent voters?
I don't. I fall down the center myself. And no, because if the policy doesn't take effect, what difference does it make to independent voters? It's really aimed at Hispanic voters who may have relatives who are here illegally trying to gain amnesty and stay in the country.
So, Chris Newman, sounds somewhat similar to your concern that you think there's this big announcement, but that there may not be any follow through coming out of it. And that's your fear.
Well, the proof is in the pudding. But again, there's a consensus that the current immigration laws aren't working, and there's a consensus that they're unjust, that they're causing hardship, and that also they're harming our economy. They're giving a leg up for predatory employers, and they're harming our ability to move forward as a nation together. And I think everyone is frankly tired of an emotional debate about immigration that has gone nowhere but only has divided us as a country. And I think that there's a real appetite out there for sensible solutions to move us forward. And again, I think Marshall laid out the framework quite right. We need Congress, and indeed I think we're coming close even to a consensus with Stephen. We need Congress, to roll up their sleeves and put all of the sort of vituperative language to the side and write immigration laws that are in the best interest and the best spirit of this country's values. And my sense is that the announcement yesterday is moving us in that direction.
Stephen,
now, there's clearly a lot of work to go.
So, Stephen Camerata, do you
think the program's got to go?
What direction do you think it's taking us in?
Probably makes for a more polarized debate. I mean, I think most Americans think some immigration is good, but they want to see the system reform, bring the numbers down, enforce the law, encourage illegal immigrants to go home. And if at some point in the future we want to have an amnesty for some illegal immigrants left, I think the public might support that in a decade or so or something like that. What this does, though, is just increase public cynicism. They see it as a political ploy. They again reminds them that we're not serious about enforcing the law. And like I said, even if what you want Congress to do is to have a large amnesty, this tends to, in the long run, push it farther back and make it even less likely. It's not very likely in the next few years, but it makes it even less likely because, again, the only way the public would ever support that is if they became convinced that they were serious about enforcing the law. But if now you're saying, look, I'm going to take some discretion I have and then blow it up and make public policy based on a narrow area of discretion, then, again, that just encouraged public cynicism.
All right, let's take another call. This is from Sandy in North Hollywood. You're on Air Talk.
Hi, I'm a high school teacher at San Fernando High School, and I'm pro-immigration. However, I want to say that I understand all of these points of view. That being said, I'm extremely frustrated by the discussion of lawbreaking considering white corruption in America. Okay, I'm calling because I care about my students. I share any advances or progresses in immigration rights because I see their sense of hope. They are burdened by losing either parent or other family members, and these families are supporting these kids to becoming decent, contributing members of society. Thank you.
All right. Sandy, thanks very much. Her perception as a high school teacher and her dedicated students. Chris in Westwood has a different perspective. He says it's a fallacy to believe so-called stories of immigrant children coming here as infants, going on to apply themselves in school, doing well in all aspects of their lives. Education stats show Latinos, particularly poor Latinos, are the lowest performing group in terms of academics, most likely to have children as teenagers, most likely to drop out of school, and most likely to be impoverished for the rest of their lives. Share your comments on the Air Talk page at kpcc.org. What do you think of President Obama's administration announcing this change in policy on immigration enforcement and the immigration courts? Air Talk page, kpcc.org. Thank you, Stephen Camerata, Chris Newman, and Marshall Fitz for joining us. Coming up, we're going to talk about Mitt Romney's campaign statement about corporations being people, too. We'll debate that coming up on Air Talk. First, Hetty has the news.